Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us as we face the issues each and every day. I pray that it's informative, inspiring, challenging, and refreshing each and every day as you join with us on this broadcast. We're looking forward to your dialogue, your discussion about the issues that are at hand even as we talk today. We're asking you to call in today and asking you to join in the dialogue and discussion on this broadcast. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We want you to join the dialogue and discussion, a very serious dialogue and discussion we're having today. I'm calling it a roundtable. We have, in just a moment, we'll introduce some of our guests. We have Congressman Mike Hill that will be with us today. We have one of our sons, Greg, that will be calling in from the fine state of Tennessee up in the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it. We've got Pastor Davis with us. And so we are looking forward to having you join in this roundtable dialogue and discussion about an issue that I think has reached the seething point, the boiling point in America. And we, the people, need to understand what we're faced with and need to understand the challenge from the Word of God in relationship to what we should do. In fact, it is very, very clear, and we'll read the text in a moment, but it's very clear in the Bible in Ezekiel 33, verses 1 and following, where we ought to be the watchman on the wall. The watchman on the wall is one that blows the trumpet. The watchman on the wall is the one that calls out the clarion call of warning. The watchman on the wall is responsible to warn before an event takes place to save lives. And the scripture is clear, if we do not do that as the watchman on the wall, if we see danger coming, if we see devastation that's on the horizon, and we say nothing and do nothing, God holds us responsible. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to be held responsible for silence and sitting and doing nothing. I'm going to blow the trumpet. I'm going to warn the world that will listen, and it's left up to you to make the determination as to what you ought to do. And we're talking about a very dangerous thing today, and that is the COVID vaccination. We're talking about those that are dying as a result of it, and more pointedly, we'll be talking about today those that are entrapped in hospitals, medical care facilities, and you're held hostage until you die. We're going to invite you today, if you're a parent, if you're a brother, sister, relative, mom or dad, and you've had the experience, a horrific experience, where a hospital has entrapped your loved one and tortured them to death. I want to hear from you. I'm going to give you some advice on what you need to do. Got a telephone number. I'm an attorney right down in Gainesville, Florida, that I'm going to recommend that you call him, get his team to work on it. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, you might say, well, I would not have thought about that as a Christian. I'm going to recommend that if you've been harmed, hurt, devastated about the way your relative has been treated or the way you have been treated in these institutions today that are not abiding by the Hippocratic Oath, they're rather than trying to heal, they're trying to kill and destroy. And I'm asking you to call and invite this attorney that I'm going to talk with you about, looking forward to the potential of the possibility of having an interview with him next week. But I'm going to introduce the name and phone number today and ask you to call, get him involved, file suit against the hospital, the medical association, physician that is maltreating you. We're living in a society today where inhumanity is on the horizon, and that barbaric treatment, that the patient has no value, the Hippocratic Oath of healing and curing is no longer viewed because of M-O-N-E-Y. Does that set the stage pretty clearly where we're going? I pray that it does, because we're going to invite you to call in, share your personal testimony, what you've experienced, your experience with the hospitals and the doctors, and just had a call from a dear gentleman yesterday. It was heartbreaking to hear him say, as Don called in and talked about, I believe, a brother down in Tampa Hospital where he's held hostage, and they're killing him day by day. That's my term, not the caller's term. But, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We do so based on the truth book. This broadcast is not fundamentally founded on, are brought to you based on denominational dogma or some ideological bent of a philosophical rhetoric, not based on political agenda. It is based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, nothing more and nothing less, I believe. The Bible is very clear that we need to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him and allow Him to direct our paths. Ladies and gentlemen, that is very, very clear what we need to do. That's from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 that I truncated for the benefit of getting the words in. In fact, I said this morning as I was talking with Roger, I said, we need to do 2 hours today, not an hour. And he says, I'm sorry, but it automatically cuts you off at an hour. But nevertheless, we need the time to get the information out to you, the listeners, today. I believe it's vital. I believe it is urgent. I believe it is necessary that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, while we still have the freedom to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we base it on the Word of God. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus speaking to His disciples, if you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, He says in John 17, 17, Thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that we should depend on, ladies and gentlemen. We ought not to depend, especially as Christians, especially as conservatives and patriots, we ought not to depend on the lies of the Communist Network News. We ought not to depend on the idle words, the words that are insufficient and incomprehensible, than the breadth and the depth of the lies coming out of CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, et cetera, et cetera. We need not depend on anything that comes out of the mouth of Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and the others, and certainly not of Kamala Harris. And by the way, she's on her way out, in my most humble opinion. I believe that they will. I believe that the Biden administration will try to appoint her to the U.S. Supreme Court. I've said this now for weeks and weeks and weeks. Appoint her to the Supreme Court, and thereby removing her. They'll put Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama as the vice president. Then when they remove Joe Biden because of his inability, cognitively speaking, and they're going to do that. My opinion, I'm not a prophet, the son of a prophet, they'll do that by before June, July of this year, before the heat of the fall election in November. And then the one that's the vice president will move up to the position of being an appointed president of the United States of America. It's a harbinger back of the Gerald Ford era when he was appointed as vice president, then became an appointed president of the United States of America. But ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we recognize that truth is not adhered to today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. This is the reason I go back to what was said so eloquently by Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a good directive for today. Seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, what does that mean? It is the Word of God. Jesus says, the Lord Jesus Himself says, I am truth. And then the Lord Jesus points, and we see in John 17, 17, Thy word is truth. So the only truth book that we can find is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That is the ultimate source book of what is called truth today. But so many deny the truth, reject the truth, respond inadequately to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, good news. Tools for Time is now looking to fill positions that's available at Tools for Time. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. A great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. It is closed on Sunday, allowing all employees to worship with their families on Sunday. Just drop by Tools for a Time, 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the gigantic flag is flowing 24-7. Drop by Tools for a Time, fill out your application, and wait for an interview. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as I have said in a very, very clear fashion, with passion, I believe today, as perhaps not seen or heard in some time, even on this broadcast, it is an urgent call for us to be the watchman on the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes listening, listen very carefully. Multitudes of you that are listening today to this broadcast, you've had friends or family members or relatives to die from the COVID pathogen. Or at least you've been told that the test was positive and you had to do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am finding that there are multitudes of tests that are absolutely fraudulent. I'm looking at an article that says, Center for COVID Control, fake COVID-19 test results. This article says that a particular testing organization in America collected $125 million of taxpayer money. $125 million. They did hundreds of thousands of tests and put them in garbage bags in the back of the room, never run the test on them, but sent reports out to hundreds of thousands of people saying that their test was either positive or negative, frightened people to death, rushed them to the doctors of the hospitals, where some of them were killed as a result of a fake, phony, false report by an organization that was simply collecting money. So I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you know someone that you have seen being put in the hospital because of COVID. They have been there helpless and hopeless, could not have visitors. And by the way, part of this broadcast, we're going to talk about Senate Bill 988 and what needs to be done. Several of the senators have introduced that. It's now in some of the committees. In fact, one of the things we'll talk with one of our special guests today, Congressman Hill, we're going to ask him some questions about Senate Bill 988 and see if he's reviewed that, see if he has any recommendations for us to do or to think on in regard to that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're very, very serious today as to what ought to be done and what we need to be done. There are those today by the thousands that are listening, and as a result of that, you've got a story that you need to tell. What is your story? What have you found? Have you had COVID to affect you negatively or positively? How have you done in relationship to your health after you've taken the COVID jab? What are you finding about the hospitals not allowing you to go in and visit a relative? I know with our 56-year-old son in a Virginia hospital where they tortured him to death over a 71-day period of time, family members could not go see him. We had to do some Zoom calls by a telephone for him to try to understand what we were saying, that we loved him, praying for him, singing old gospel hymns to him as he lay there helpless as a result of not allowing any family members to go in and refusing to allow any medication that could have saved his life. Do you think I'm passionate about it? You think I'm bothered with it? You think I have an urgency in my voice about it? Yes, I do. And I am praying that it will motivate you to do something at this very moment, to get involved as a watchman on the wall. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Congressman Mike Hill on the line with us. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida, a Christian conservative Republican that, because he wanted to introduce bills that were beneficial for the state, because so many rhinos were in Tallahassee that refused to let some of his bills even get into the committee or subcommittee meetings. He was outed in one of the preliminary elections, primaries. He was primaried out at the hands of some rhino Republicans. And I'm thankful to call him my friend, brother in Christ, knowledgeable man on the subject. Congressman Hill, welcome to the broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. And I want to say that I certainly share your passion that I hear in your voice, and I hope is being projected onto your audience, that they also need to be passionate about what we see happening in our hospitals today in terms of not allowing visitors and isolating people who go into the hospital, which we all know is one of the worst things you can do in terms of someone's mental and physical health is to isolate them and not allow them to have visitors, which would bring them comfort and healing and health. So I, too, share your passion about this because I have had numerous friends, thank goodness no relatives yet, but numerous friends who have been admitted into the hospital during this whole COVID scare that's been going on, and they have died because of the regimen that they received when they were in the hospital and unable to have visitors.
It is inhumane. It is something that would have been unthinkable just 4 or 5 years ago. It would have been something that physicians would have never participated in. One of my personal physicians said one day, he said, "Doc, 10 years from now, the entire medical community will look back in shame as to what they have done in the killing of the patients because of COVID." Congressman, have you had an opportunity to review even scantily the proposed bill that was introduced by Senator Garcia in Tallahassee? I believe it's a Senate Bill 988.
I did. Senate Bill 988, introduced by Senator Garcia. It has some co-sponsors, Senator Berman, Rodriguez, and Perry. Rodriguez and Perry, I know. I actually served with them in the Florida House together. And are typically, in particular Rodriguez, are typically good conservative members. Perry can be conservative on a number of issues. Every once in a while, he'll move towards the middle, which I don't understand. But I did look at Senate Bill 988. Over on the Senate side, it is at its final destination. It's at the Appropriations Committee meeting level. And over on the House side, I believe there it's in Health Appropriations Committee. So it is near its final stop. Doesn't mean that it still cannot be changed. It can.
Congressman, in the House, what is the reference of the companion bill for that?
That is House Bill 987.
I tried to find that and could not find it for some reason, trying to find the companion of that. Tell our listeners what your thoughts are about that bill. I'm looking at the bill now in my hand, and then we're going to touch on some of the things that I think needs to be done with that bill and get your thoughts on it.
Well, with the bill, the title of the bill is No Patient Left Alone Act. And I think the overall intent was to allow visitors into the hospital when someone has been admitted for whatever reason. And I know this has all been precipitated by what has happened with this whole COVID idea. But what it does, it requires providers to allow clients to receive visitors during their admission or residency at the facility. The problem with the bill, Dr. Youngblood, is it still has too many restrictions on it as to who can be prevented from coming in and why they can be prevented from coming in. But not only that, it doesn't go far enough in terms of allowing visitors, including family members, clergy, and so forth, to help in the decision-making process of what protocols or regimen that the patient is going to receive. We should have the right of autonomy to our bodies. And if a person is unable to respond on their own, or even if they can, and there's a family member there with them who is questioning, why are you going to give them a certain type of a drug, for example, remdesivir, which has been proven to cause kidney damage? Why are you going to give that to them and can challenge the doctor, nurse, or whoever that, no, you will not give that to them and should be able to do so? This bill does not allow that, and I believe that it should.
One of the things that I find in this bill, Congressman, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Congressman Hill, Mike Hill, former Congressman, Representative District 1 in the state of Florida, living out in Pensacola. I'm thankful that he's with us today. In a moment, we're going to be talking with Pastor Davis about what does the Bible say in relationship to what we need to do as Christians as the watchman on the wall and our responsibility if we fail that responsibility. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917. Love to have you share with us your experience, your questions in relationship to this that we're talking about. Congressman, I had the privilege over the past 6 months of interfacing with Clay Yarber, Representative, Anthony Sabatini, Representative in District 26, I believe it is, in South Florida, and a close relationship that I've had for years with Senator Bean. They have collaborated together and introduced these different legislative moves. You said the one in the House is 987, the one in the Senate is 988. And when Senator Bean sent me a draft of this one, I was shocked, and I don't mind saying openly, I sent him back a note that I'm shocked at the depleted, watered-down, ineffective bill that this happens to be, in my most humble opinion, because on the very face of the bill, starting with about line, and if the listener's not aware, out of the bill drafting, they will have the bill with line by line, so you can pick up line. Starting with about line 10, Congressman, if you're looking at the bill, it says authorizing providers to require, listen, to require visitors to adhere to specified infection control protocols. That's what they're doing now. Authorizing providers to refuse visitation to a visitor who does not pass a health screening or refuse to comply with the provider's infection control protocols. That requirement, Congressman, could be that you've got to have a vaccination, could be that you've got to wear 14 masks, could be that you've got to have passed a COVID screening, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have had the privilege of working in collaboration with Glenn, one of my sons, that's genius at wording, and he came up with this. Congressman, I want your opinion of it, and then I'm going to ask you, if I get you a copy of this, if you can get this through the front door of some of the ones that you know still in Tallahassee. It says, regarding patient visitation, medical facilities may conduct an in-person rudimentary observation, non-restrictive, non-invasive, and or temperature check for the potential illness, and or personal protective equipment for each visitor as may be necessary. However, the medical facility, including but not limited to the staff, the doctors, the nurses, orderlies, and any security personnel, will not mandate any medical procedure, vaccination, quarantine, or untimely delay upon any of the patient's visitors, i.e., family, clergy, legal advisor, medical advisor, power of attorney, guardian, patient advocate, EMT, LEO, etc. Any willful violation of this section will result in civil and or criminal liabilities against the medical facility, end quote. That's what you call putting teeth in a bill. And I need to know your thoughts, your opinion, and what is your suggestion to our listeners today? How can they become involved? They will put pressure on. I'm talking about kind pressure, not wicked, evil, demanding, but pressure on our representatives, our legislators, including the House and the Senate in Tallahassee, to modify this bill before it's too late? Or in your opinion, is it too late to modify the bill?
No, it is not too late to modify the bill, Dr. Youngblood. In fact, it can be modified even when it is being presented on the floor. An amendment can be submitted at that time. It's easier to do it while it is in committee. And it does have committee stops in both the House and in the Senate, and what's called a committee substitute bill can be brought forward to bring on the floor for a vote. I really appreciate the wording that was put together by your son, who, in my opinion, I also agree with you, is brilliant, that the wording that he has to allow visitors and to not be able to restrict their movement. Dr. Youngblood, I have a friend of mine who I go to church with. He's an elderly gentleman. He's in his early 80s. He and his wife were both diagnosed with having COVID. They were both admitted into the hospital. Their rooms were right next door to each other, but they were not allowed to visit each other in their rooms. They had to stay isolated, restricted. That is utter nonsense. They're from the same household, same family, right next door to each other, and one could not get out of their bed, walk next door, go in, tell their spouse that they love them, give them a kiss, and then go back to their own room. They were not allowed to do that. That is utter nonsense. Before this entire scamdemic began, people were allowed to go into hospitals. I did it many times, Dr. Youngblood. Yes. I would go visit friends who would ask for prayer, and I would go into the hospital and see them. And some were in very serious conditions, almost to the point of death. I can recall a time when a lady had pneumonia and was dying from that pneumonia, and their family asked for prayer. And I was able to go into the room. They made me put on gear, which I did not mind doing.
Yes.
I went in there, was able to pray with that individual. God healed them, and 3 days later, they were released from the hospital. That is what is being prevented from happening right now. And I believe, Dr. Youngblood, that a lot of that is an attack not just on patient rights and family rights. It's an attack on Christianity. It's an attack on our religion, because it is not allowing people to receive prayer in the hospital.
Yes, in fact, you touched on the patients. The Patient's Bill of Rights is the Florida Statute 381.026, and I encourage our listeners, that's Florida Statute 381.026, I encourage our listeners to pull that up and read it. That's the Patient's Bill of Rights, and right now the Patient's Bill of Rights is being eviscerated by the medical procedure, medical process, the medical establishment today in our hospitals and our doctors' offices as though it doesn't exist. In the Patient's Bill of Rights, the patient has to say so. And Congressman, you were speaking of that back in August when my wife was in the hospital for 6 days. And when she was checked in, she told the little nurse, Heather, in room 15 at the emergency room at Baptist South, that little Heather, in her arrogant spirit, when my wife told her, she said, I want you to put on the record now, no ventilator, regardless of my condition, no ventilator. Little Heather looked at her and said, we may just have to let you die then. And that's the mindset that's taking place in our hospitals today. It's an arrogant control factor that we've got you under control. We've got you as a captivated person. You can do nothing about it. In fact, that one of her nurses, when she was speaking to my wife, when she was in the hospital, my wife would call one of our sons, get him on the speakerphone to talk with the doctor, talk with the nurse, to make sure there was an advocate for her in the room. And the nurse summarily told her, we don't have to listen to anything he says. As long as you're conscious, as long as you can talk, the only one we need to listen to is you. We don't have to listen to any relative, any spokesperson, etc. That is in total contradiction of the Patient's Bill of Rights. And so I'm concerned and I'm prayerful that we can get our legislators in Tallahassee to modify this bill to make it work. One other thing, and I know you have said in advance that you needed to go because of your schedule at the break at the top of the hour time, but one other thing, if we can squeeze it in, there's a law firm in Gainesville, Florida. The chief attorney there is the attorney Jeff Childress. Are you familiar with what Jeff Childress is doing, putting together a band of attorneys across the nation to fight cases like this? In fact, he's the one that fought the case here in Jacksonville against Mayo Clinic where they let a patient die. He has handled cases in Gainesville and has his team that's involved in Fulton County, Georgia, et cetera, et cetera. Are you familiar with the work that he is doing?
No, I'm not, Dr. Youngblood. I've only heard of it briefly, but I'm not intimately aware of it.
I'm reading a headline from some of the work that he's done. The attorneys behind the defeat of the local vaccine mandate in Florida gathering the national lawyer group. And just for the benefit, and I'm not, he's not said to do this, but I'm doing it. His telephone number is 1-352. That's area code 352-335-0400. 335-0400. I would suggest our audience, if you've got a problem with patient care, with the attitude of the hospital, et cetera, call Jeff Childress and get him involved in your case. And I suggest, and Congressman, some may disagree with this, I suggest Christians, conservatives, and patriots file suit on every hand to protect not only themselves and their family, but others that's in the vice of this pandemic, plandemic, as it is called. Congressman, I know you've got to go. Would you have any final words to our listening audience before you leave us today?
I would offer that they call those Senate sponsors, call your state senator, your state representative, and tell them how you would like to see more teeth added to these bills. your wording is brilliant that you read over the line, Dr. Youngblood. Encourage them to change the bill to make it stronger.
And I'm going to get you a copy of that. And if you've got anybody that will listen in Tallahassee, that you could send them a copy of it and urge them to.